would turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, and read a couple verses here and give you some thoughts out of this passage that I think will be a help and a blessing to us tonight. Out of Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they'll not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod." And I'm going to end up in my reading there, just those two verses. And what I really want us to focus on tonight, what I want you to see, it really is that question that the Lord asked Moses there in verse number 2. He asked him the question, what is in thine hand? And I want to preach for just a few minutes, give you some thoughts here, maybe teach some things regarding just that question here in this passage, that question, what is in thine hand? Now, if you are familiar with this passage, you know that God's called Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt. He's God's man that he is raising up at this time to be the deliverer and to kind of head up what God's wanting to do. And you'll find that that's generally the way God works too. Whenever God's people, people start crying out to the Lord, crying out for the deliverance and crying out for the Lord to do something, generally what God does is he raises up a man. And ministries are built on men. Most everything you've ever seen God do in the Scripture, God did with a man. And so that's what he's done here. He's using Moses and he's raising him up. Even though Moses has been on the backside of the wilderness for all those years, God now is going to thrust him to the forefront and use him to be the deliverer of his children from Egypt in Egyptian bondage. But what we find here in this passage is that though God is telling Moses and explaining to Moses what he's going to do and even commanding him what he wants him to do, Moses is very reluctant. He is giving excuses really why he can't do what God's telling him to do. You know, I think a lot of people do that. A lot of folks, they come up with excuses of why they cannot do what God has commanded them to do. And I've talked to people like that where you show them verse and script, chapter and verse. You know, this is what God says. But they'll come up with some lame excuse as to why they cannot do what God is commanding to do or not do. And I'll remind you, you know this, but I'll just remind you that there's nothing that God has ever commanded anyone to do that He would not give them the ability to do. There's nothing God's commanded somebody not to do that He wouldn't give them the ability to not do it. And so it's not impossible to do the will of God. It is in the flesh, but when you do what God's told you to do or calls you to do by faith, nothing is impossible. We can do the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and through walking in faith. And that's what God's called Moses to do. No doubt what God's telling Moses that he's going to do from the eye of the flesh, it looks impossible. Moses looks at all the people and he looks at Pharaoh and looks at the land of Egypt. I mean, one of the most powerful nations in the world at this time. And so one man looking at all that, I mean, no doubt. I mean, it looks like an impossible task. Yet God is commanding him to do it. And all Moses is required to do is just obey God. He's not required to fulfill the results. He's not required to make it all happen. All he's required to do is just do it God's telling him to do. And that's the way it is with us. God's not holding us accountable to make it all happen and to turn the wheels and get everything going. God's just holding us accountable just to do what he's called us to do and let him take care of the results. Amen? So God's not telling Moses so much to be the deliverer. He's telling Moses that he's going to use him to be the deliverer. And all Moses has to do is just be an empty, willing vessel. And that's us. Amen? him. But as God's commanding him to do it, again, he's reluctant. He's coming up with excuses. He's talking about his speech and telling God as if anybody can tell God something, right? But he's telling God, you know, the people won't believe me, and they'll say that you hadn't talked to me and all these things. But really what God met some of his excuses with was this question that we have in this text. With all the excuses and everything Moses was saying and telling God the reasons why he could not do it, God met those excuses and met those rebuttals with a simple question. It's the question we just read. He said, "What is in thine hand?" And that's a very interesting question, and it reveals a lot about God. And what it reveals, I really love this text, I love this verse, I love this question that God's given, because one of the things that this shows us about God is that nothing is insignificant. Nothing. Nothing and no one is insignificant. There is no object, there is no person that could ever be counted out in regards to what God could do with them or that thing. There's nothing. So nothing and no one is insignificant. And it's not because of the object or it's not because of the person. It's just because of God. Because God can use anyone and God can use anything. And I want to give you three things that I see in this verse or in this question. Some things that really kind of teach us about God and how God could use you or use me or use something that we have in our hand. First of all, I want you to notice that there is an appeal here. Now, God is asking him a question, but you know, when God asks about something you have, it's often an appeal more than it is an actual question. As a matter of fact, God never asked a question that he didn't already know the answer to. You look through the scripture and you'll find many questions that God asked people, but it was almost never a legitimate question. It was always an appeal, just like in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where art thou? Did God not know where Adam was? Oh, God knew where Adam was. But see, that was a question of appeal. God's question, he was throwing it out there to appeal to Adam so that Adam would know where Adam was. To get Adam to step back for a second and evaluate his position and see where he was at and look at where he was at and kind of to realize, I'm hiding from God here. God doesn't know where I am. God did know where he was, but he asked the question to get Adam thinking, I'm hiding from God. Never once in my life have I ever done this. Never once in my life did I ever think I would do this, but yet here I am hiding from God. And it was the question that got him thinking about that. And so the question is an appeal. And it's the same thing that God is doing to Moses right here. God's not asking Moses what's in his hand because he doesn't know. He's asking Moses what's in his hand so Moses will start thinking about and looking at what's in his hand. He's appealing to Moses. And so when he asks what you have, it's often an appeal. See, God is appealing for that thing to be used in his service. More so than asking what's in your hand, he's asking if Moses would be willing to use what is in his hand. Moses, would you be willing to give me what is in your hand? It's an appeal. See, if God's going to use Moses, if he's going to further work through Moses and his life and use him to accomplish all that he's planned for him to accomplish and use him in his will, you know what God's got to have? He's got to have what's in his hand. Now, don't pick me apart here. I know God doesn't have to have anything, but God wants what's in his hand. And just as God has got a plan for Moses, God has got a plan for what's in his hand too. He's got a plan to use what Moses is holding in his hand. And I want you to know that if we'll ever do anything for God, we must be willing to give God what is in your hand. You must be willing to give him what he asks for. You say, "Well, Jacob, what are you talking about? You know, what's in my hand?" I'll tell you how this question is posed to you and to me. God may not show up to us and with an audible voice ask the question, what is in thine hand, like He did to Moses. But I tell you what He will do. When you're sitting preaching, or you're sitting in a church service, or in your prayer closets, or you're reading your Bible, the Holy Spirit will begin to move on your heart and speak to your heart and show you something or bring up something and put it on your mind and get you thinking about it. And He'll start telling you, this is what I want out of you. He'll start impressing that thing upon you. In fact, right now, sitting under this message right now, you may already be thinking about that thing where God is stirring in your heart. And in an audible voice, He's not saying what's in thine hand, but He's got it on your heart. He's got it on your mind. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the speaking of the Holy Spirit, He's talking to you and He's asking you a question. What about this? What about this in your life? What is in your hand here? Would you be willing to give this to me? Would you be willing to use that for me? And it's not a question because He doesn't know. He's asking the question. He's bringing it up as an appeal. I want to use this. Will you give it to me? And see, submission is an absolute must if you're going to do anything for God. If I'm going to do anything for God, it is an absolute must that we submit to everything He asks for. What is in thine hand? And so there's an appeal here, but then there's also an appraisal here. Notice the appraisal. He asked Moses, Moses, what is in thine hand? But then Moses' answer was simply a rod. He just said a rod. And I tell you why Moses just looked at what was in his hand and just said a rod is because that's all Abraham saw it as. And really, in all, you know, physical aspect, that's all it was in the hand of Moses. It was just a rod. It was an insignificant item, just something that was very simple. What it probably was, no doubt what it was his shepherd's crook or staff. Just a normal, average, everyday object that hundreds, thousands of people carried during this day and this time. People had a staff or a rod. It was so common for people to just carry it. There was nothing special about it, nothing special to look at. It wasn't special in any way. It didn't glow. It didn't, you know, have fire or sparks coming out of it. I mean, it was just a rod. That's all it was. And Moses' blunt answer to God here pretty much indicates to us everything we need to know about the way He looked at it. It indicates to us that He didn't see anything special in it either. When He looked at it, and He said, God, it's a rod. That's it. It's just a rod. However, when yielded to God, when Moses took this simple rod, this simple everyday object and item that was no different from what everybody else carried, whenever he gave it to God, that rod took on a very different identity. As a matter of fact, the Word of God gave it a name. It gave it the name of the Rod of God. It went from being just an average everyday staff, an average everyday shepherd's crook, an average everyday stick, and yet when it was given to God, it's now known as the Rod of God. And that is exactly what happens when something is yielded to God. I tell you, it takes a different identity, takes on a different power, takes on a different significance. Whenever anything, no matter how significant in our eyes or the world's eyes or in your eyes, when it's given to God, it takes on a lot of significance. It becomes something very different when God gets His hands on it. This rod went from being a nothing to being the Rod of God. It was used by God in so many powerful ways. You look through the Word of God and study the life of Moses and the children of Israel and their journey to the Promised Land. It became, this very rod became part of a miracle in which it turned into a snake. You remember that? It became, it was used in the plagues that God brought upon the land of Egypt. It was used to open the Red Sea. This very rod was used to bring water from a rock. This very rod was used to give victory over the Amalekites. I mean, it's the Rod of God, man. And at this point in his life, though, he doesn't see all that. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He hasn't read the last chapter. As far as he's concerned right now, on the front end, he's just holding a rod. God says, Moses, what's in your hand? And whenever he appraises it so little, whenever he appraises, Moses' appraisal of that object was that it is very insignificant. What it lets us know is that nothing is insignificant. God can use anything that is given to Him. And I just want to remind you of that, that you are not significant. And nothing that you can or, you know, are willing to do for God is insignificant. Nothing is too small for God to use it in a mighty way. I think a lot of times, you know, we think about the big things. You know, if you're not doing something big for God, then it doesn't matter. But the truth is, there's nothing too small that God can't use or won't use. Listen, your opportunities may seem small, but use them fully for God. Your abilities may seem small and insignificant, but use them fully for God. Every gift and talent and ability, every dime you have, everything you've got, if you'll use it fully for God, no matter how little it is, God will use it in a great way. It's highly possible. Somebody here tonight, God's asking you for a specific thing, a very specific thing. He's saying, listen, what's in your hand here? And He's not asking so that He knows. He's asking to appeal to you, and you may be appraising it very small. You may be looking at God, and in a sense, you're saying, Lord, it's just a rod, or it's just this little thing. This is all I've got. But the appeal is, if you'll give it to me, I'll use it. I've got a plan for that thing. Remember the widow with her two mites? Two mites. Now, all that religious crowd were given out of their abundance. But Jesus watched, and she gave those two mites. And Jesus Himself said that she's given the two mites, but she's given more than them all because she's given all that she has. Now, that was the Lord's statement at that moment. And that'd been enough, wouldn't it? But listen, here we are 2,000 years later, and it's recorded in the Holy Word of God, and it's still preached, it's still taught, it still inspires people regarding giving, it still inspires people regarding selling out and serving God. I tell you, God has taken those two mites, and He has certainly used them, amen? Now, those two mites may have not been enough to pay any bills in that day. It may have been not been enough to support any missionaries in that day. It may have not been enough to, you know, pay the salary for the preacher in that day. But I tell you, 2,000 years have gone by, and we're still preaching it, and God's still using it. It didn't seem like it was much then, but God has taken that little bit and He has multiplied it and magnified it and made it into something because she just took all that she had and she gave it to the Lord. What is in your hand? There's an appraisal here. But then I want you to notice this. There's also an admonition here. See, that question, what is in thine hand? It's an appeal and there's an appraisal involved, but that question can also be asked as an admonition as well, where God could be asking that question and admonishing someone, admonishing you or admonishing whoever He's asking that question to in the form of what is in your hand in terms of maybe you ought to be giving that up. Is there something in your hand that shouldn't be in your hand? See, sometimes He asks the question as an appeal, like, I want what's in your hand. But sometimes that question could also be as an admonition that, listen, you've got something in your hand that shouldn't be in your hand. And that's the way God will ask you sometimes, you know, what's in your hand here? What's in your life here? What's this over here? He'll put His finger on that sore spot in your soul and say, you know, what is this? What's this over here? Let's shine some light over here and let's look at this. And sometimes it's something that really shouldn't be there. It's something that's in your hand that shouldn't be in your hand. It's something you're involved in that you shouldn't be involved in. It's something that's there in your life that should not be there. And I tell you, just like if we're to do anything for God, submission in regards to giving to His work and giving to His service is totally vital. But listen, if we'll ever do anything for God, listen, giving up what He asks us to give up, not just give it to Him, but give it up, is also totally vital. The things that shouldn't even be there. Not the things that He wants, but the evil that shouldn't be there. So I wonder that question tonight. Would God be asking, is there something in your hand that you shouldn't have? Is there something there in your hand? Is there someone else's hand in your hand that shouldn't be there? Sometimes that's what it is. It's someone else's hand that's in your hand. Isn't that right? And so, all of the message is true within them all, though. Whether it's an appeal, whether it's an admonition, the message is always the same, and it's simply this, that good or bad, if we'll do anything for God, we must give Him anything that we have in our hand. Whatever God asks for, whatever He puts His finger on, whatever He points out in our life, we must give it to Him. And just know this, that again, good or bad, nothing is insignificant. Nothing is so insignificant that it couldn't be used in a mighty way if you just give it to Him. But listen, on the flip side of that is that nothing's so insignificant that it couldn't ruin everything God's got for you. If you're not willing to give it up or want to hang on to it. And so, what is in your hand? Would you be willing to give God whatever He asks for, whatever He points out when He says, what is in your hand? It may look insignificant. You may appraise it very small, but if you'll give it to God, God will do something great out of it, just like He did with Moses and that rod. What is in your hand? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take it and use it tonight. And I pray that it'd be a good reminder for us all, Lord, that Lord, we all can be used. But Lord, not only that, but even the small things in our life, Lord, can greatly disrupt us and do damage, Lord, to our testimony and our life and our ministry. And so, Lord, I just pray that You take, Lord, these simple words, simple thoughts tonight and use them in our heart and our life. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.